Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to look into your word and to be strengthened by it. Lord, that's our purpose here. But we can do nothing apart from you and apart from your spirit doing the ministry. Lord God, we are totally at a loss. So I just pray that your spirit really would be active, not just in me, and do anoint me as I preach, but I pray too for all of us as we listen, that, Lord God, you would get your word into our hearts, and may it have a wonderful effect in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I decided that I was going to try and use a little PowerPoint today, too, in my message. And so as we head into the holiday season, for too many of us, the stress involved can be overwhelming. It's not just a wave of stress. It feels like a nasty Category 5 hurricane that's approaching. The holiday stress is a result of being overwhelmed by the gift, by gift shopping, parties, family gatherings, the cooking, the cleaning, the decorating, the baking, yada, yada, yada. Season all of this with a family member's drinking disorder and a nasty boss at work, and you've cooked up quite the Christmas goose. In the aftermath of the hurricane, there's the delightful backlog to deal with at the office. And all this, the cleanup jobs from holiday family conflict, marital strife, and the increase in credit card debt from the holiday overexpenditures, and you have a ho-ho horrible headache that lasts about 2 weeks into January. So, what is your holiday season going to look like? Is it going to be just rife with stress? Or could it, may I dare even suggest, that it just could be something wonderful, something blessed? Are you going to be held captive by stress and anxiety over the next 5-6 weeks? Or are you going to be held captivated by Christ's love and by his grace? Here's the deal. The choice is yours. The choice is absolutely yours. So what I wanted to talk about first is some of us therefore need to have a corrective perspective. And I looked up and found a few little things about perspective. Doesn't that look kind of freaky, like this person is ready to just fall into this ice chasm? But is it real? I love it. It's actually sidewalk chalk. Somebody painted that design on a sidewalk. And it'll look great, but sometimes we have to discern between, next slide please, what is true. Oh my gosh, this giant woman, she's attacking the Tower of Pizza. Pizza, anyway. Is it true? You know, sometimes our perspective is skewed. Next slide, please. Look at this guy with his toy airplane. Next slide. Is that really the hand of God, and is that how he makes the clouds? We got to discern what is true and what is not. So sometimes our perspective can be skewed. And oftentimes the stress that is created in our lives, especially during the holidays, it's our own undoing, and oftentimes it's because our perspective is off. We are so focused on really what are temporal, earthly things, and not on the eternal things. And by the way, I can be the chief of sinners here when it comes to anxiety and stress. Absolutely. By my nature, it's in my DNA, I think. I'm sure of it. And it's something I've battled with for a long time. And still, you know, I think that's just going to be the thorn in my flesh. I don't know. And God's just, up till now, said, my grace is sufficient for you. But you got to lean on me. But what I found, too, is perspective is everything. How I look at something with what eyes I use. And so one of the verses I've memorized is this, in 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So in the holiday season, you know, so many of the things we stress out about are temporary, temporal things. I mean, really, the gifts. Are those eternal things? The holiday meal and all the baking and all, it's going to be gone in about an hour. Think about it. What are the eternal things? Our relationship with God, first and foremost. And yeah, the love in our relationship with others. I mean, what did Jesus sum up when he said, hey, it's about loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, passionately, so, and loving your neighbor as yourself, right? And I love his conversation with Martha. Remember that parable? It's not a parable. Remember that story when he comes over and Martha is just, you know, how many of you ladies can relate with Martha? I mean, she's got guests and an important one at this, and she's just going crazy, and she's getting all stressed out, and then there's her sister Mary, and she's not even helping out. She's now getting furious, and so she's going to do something about it. She goes and she actually talks to Jesus about this. Don't you even care? There's Mary. She's not even doing anything to help me. Martha, Martha, what does he tell her? You are worried about so many things, but you're missing the point. There's one thing that's important. Mary is focused on that, and I'm not going to take it away from her. So are we going to be Martha and have her perspective? Or are we going to be Mary? Again, it's so much of it's about perspective. And so, you know, in the next points I want to make too, what's our perspective going to be for Thanksgiving? Is it going to become stress-giving or Thanksgiving? I mean, what's that holiday supposed to be about? Thanksgiving. And to whom? To whom do we give thanks? Who's supposed to be at the center? That needs to be our perspective. So we fix our eyes not on what is unseen, but not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. A lot of things are temporary, but it's the eternal things I want to fix my eyes on, fix my focus on, have that perspective. And so let it be about thanks, about Thanksgiving. And you know, we do have next Wednesday a Thanksgiving Eve service. So 6:30, not even going to be an hour service. I want to invite y'all because I want to develop this whole idea of thanks and Thanksgiving even more, and I will there in the short message that I give. But I want to invite you to consider making that part of your Thanksgiving celebration. Come to church and let's really set the tone for what it is and what it should be. There's so much power in prayer when we turn our prayers into thanksgiving. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's Wednesday. I want to talk more about that. So thanks and Thanksgiving. And then I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about reality in frugality. Now, frugality is not about being a miser, miserly, and being cheap and chintzy. But it is about being wise in how I allocate my resources and making sure that I am not overtaxing, overspending, overdoing it. And so as we head into this holiday season, let me recommend that we have a strong sense of reality in our frugality, in that wise wisdom of the economy. There is no reason to go into credit card debt and to overspend. Yeah, but there's so many people. Really? Is it worth it? All that stress, all that anxiety that our overspending would produce. And so, and it's not just with our money, it's our time too. I mean, in the holiday season, our time is so taxed and so stretched, and so there's the stress. I want to give you a recommendation that will sound counterintuitive. Invest more time with God this holiday season.
Wait, I don't have time.
Isn't that the problem? When we don't have time for God, what becomes of my life? And remember the saying, I've said it many times, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Because he knows if he can make you busy, that also will move you away from God. Now, if it sounds counterintuitive, if you want a blessed holiday season, if you want this holiday season not to be about being held captive by stress and be its slave, but to be captivated by God's grace and his love, then invest in your time with God. And so even go the extra mile. So we've got, just, you know, at least for the holiday season, we're trying this out, but you know, some people, we've always got our Monday evening prayer meeting. And please do consider coming to that. But some people have said, Monday night just doesn't work out for me. Fine. We're offering an alternative then. And we're going to test this out during the holiday season. Wait, that's the busiest time. Are you crazy for putting an extra meeting? Maybe I am. I want to invite you Wednesday mornings to come. What time did I put it in the bulletin? I can't even remember. 7 o'clock, thank you. 7 a.m. Right, even the students, I don't know, I mean, it might work, okay? So, I'm just saying. So, to come and pray, about 45 minutes. Afterward, if you have time, let's go get some coffee over at Village Inn. Hey, here's the perk. It's Wednesday. What happens Wednesdays at Village Inn? Free pie! Pie at 8:30 in the morning? They'll let you take it to go. You can have it later. So, there's the perk. And I don't want it to be about the pie. That is a nice icing on the cake. Excuse the pun. But trust me, if you'll invest in that time with God praying, especially corporate prayer, it's going to totally boost this whole emphasis and this whole the factor that the holiday season could truly be a time of being held or being captivated by God's love and grace. So be frugal about your time, but invest some of that time in focusing on God, and certainly in your celebrations and in your relationships. May Christ be at the center, and may Christ be at the center of Christmas. So that's my next point. It's Christ in Christmas. This is what I told the kids. Because really, honestly, when you think of it, it's pretty silly, ridiculous. We got this big old birthday celebration, and the person whose birthday we're supposed to be honoring just gets left out. So really put Christ first and foremost in your Christmas. And what are those eternal things? It is God and our relationship with him, and it is our relationship with our family and with others in love. And let it be in those relationships unselfish. And so that's my next point too. And it gets to the idea of generous servings. May we, how did I put it? Generous servings of serving generously. And so look for opportunities also to give. What did Jesus say about that? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it is. Again, it seems counterintuitive. But focus a lot of your attention, may a lot of your perspective this holiday season be about giving, and watch how the accumulation of blessings begin to build up in your heart and in your life. So much of it's about perspective. It really is. And we can either be held captive by the stress or be captivated by God's grace and love. So much of it's about our choice. Now, there's also something in this matter. It can be even go beyond stress. In some cases, the holidays can be dark for other reasons. And depression. then, is a very serious issue. Now, I am an expert when it comes to stress and anxiety, but I, and thankfully, I've got my other, my issues and everything, but thankfully, depression is not one of them for me. I'm not an expert in that area, but we do have someone who is. And so I've asked Josh Parrott just to come and share briefly about depression, and because I think it's something that I feel strongly that we need to be aware about. So come on up, Josh.
Well, as Pastor said, there is all sorts of stress that a person can deal with. And with this couple months coming up, you know, we have Thanksgiving, we got Black Friday, Black Monday, Black whatever, and Christmas, of course. But as he also said, there's another kind of a stress which can affect a person, people differently, which is depression. And unlike the stress that we get during the holidays, depression can actually occur in a person literally any time of the year. And it can happen for any different kinds of reasons. It can be brought on by stress. It can be brought on by heritage. You know, you could maybe your parents had it, and so you may have a chance of inheriting that. Doesn't sound like fun, I know. And then, of course, it could be brought on by a great tragedy. In my case, it was in July of 1985 when my younger brother, Jamie, passed on due to a brain hemorrhage. And he was just about 8 days after his 10th birthday. I was 12 at the time, and that was the first time I ever had to deal with with the loss of someone not only that I knew, but that I loved. And as with depression goes, like with an illness, there are symptoms. Two prevalent ones that affected me are withdrawal. A person under depression will find themselves withdrawing from other people, social situations. And for me, it was a little harder to tell because I'm more of an introvert. If it was someone who was, very outgoing, the center of the party, if you will, it would be more obvious. And not just from social situations, but from the things that you enjoy. For example, a warning sign may be if Greg or Zach or someone in the praise band suddenly just start backing off, because they're losing interest in the things that the once brought them joy. Another one is simply emotional shutdown. And in my case, I may hear of something, some kind of news that may be good or may be bad. Down deep, I may have a very base reaction to say, okay, that's good, or that's bad. But that would be it. Because as depression works, you find yourself very pressed to even care about some events that may be going on. Unless it was something that very much affected you. And in the case of depression, it's usually in a negative sense. But I'm grateful for God in that he watches over us, in that he gives us hope. Jesus said in the book of John that we live in a world full of trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And in Isaiah, we're told we can lean on God because he will give us the strength to keep going day by day, just enough to keep going and going and going. And at one point, God finally decided it was time for me to get some help. because one problem that a person with depression has is that because they're withdrawal, because of their emotional shutdown, they're not very likely to share this sort of thing. But God knew this about me, and he gave me the push that I needed. One morning, I had WDOM playing on my radio. It was my alarm clock. And the morning hosts were interviewing someone from Liberty Counseling, and they were offering a free depression test on such and such a date. And I felt that was a nudge to get me to go, to go have this depression test done. And as I shared in a testimony some time ago, I had been diagnosed with dysthymia, which is a moderate form of clinical depression. But fortunately, as part of my recovery process, not only am I going to counseling, I'm taking medications, and I've had quite a few people saying, you know what, Josh, I'm seeing a difference in you. And there have been times when I've been seeing the differences in myself. And I'm so glad for that. And as Pastor and I talked about this, we've actually had a dialogue about having a class on exploring the subjects of depression and suicide, because it's not something, granted, that's talked about every day. And if it's something that you find yourself confronting and you don't have a full understanding, there's going to be a disaster. So hopefully we'll be able to have this class, and I can give you some things to consider, some information, some research on the definition and statistics of depression and suicide, the symptoms and warning signs, as well as the means and hope on how you can recover. You know, thanks to God.
Thank you, Josh. You know, it's not always the saint. In fact, seldom is the saint the one who skates through life and just breezes through life, you know, one blessing after another. But oftentimes it's the saint that, despite all the adversity, is the person who truly trusts in God. I so appreciated, Josh, you, those verses from Scripture that you worked in. And in spite of it all, to hold on to the hope and to put your trust in Jesus. And that really is our task. And it's one thing to have faith, but what's most needed is that we exercise our faith. That means we need to do something very often. We need to put our faith into action. And that's what's going to make the difference. That is what's going to help give us that different perspective on life. But it's going to take some work on our parts. And then resting and trusting in God as he does his work. So, just in conclusion, in most cases, it is our choice. We can be overrun and overwhelmed by stress, or we can take control of the situation and be overwhelmed by the blessings of God's grace. We can be the victim, or we can be the conqueror. We can be held captive by worry, stress, and fear, or we can take captive every thought and bring it under the sovereignty and obedience of Christ. For most of us, it truly is our choice. It depends on the choices that we make. So, I'm going to finish with the last slides. Or did they already go through? Are you going to have a stressed out holiday season or a joy-filled holiday season, serving generous portions of serving generously? It is your choice, and I pray that by our choices, we could have truly a blessed holiday season, and I'll be held by God's grace and love. Amen.